Brethren, if you'll just bear with me for a few moments, I would like to, by way of introduction to a familiar portion, turn to a verse in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 and verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably, or if you notice your margin, speak ye to the heart. And that's what I'd like to do just for a few moments before these meetings end. Because, you know, I suppose there's never been a day when the people of God desire to be comforted like the day in which we live. There are difficulties and problems in the world, in business, in the home, sometimes in the assembly. And we like to have a few words spoken to our hearts to encourage us, because all Scripture has been written for our encouragement and for our learning. And so we have the comfort of the Scriptures, it tells us. And so with this in view, I'd like to turn for just these last few moments to a familiar portion in the 14th chapter of the book of John. John chapter 14, and we're going to read the first three verses of this precious portion. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Well, we've all pictured, no doubt, this scene in our mind's eye. The Lord Jesus gathering the disciples around him for the last time before he goes to the cross. And the Lord Jesus knew the hearts of the disciples. No doubt there's hearts here who are burdened. You're concerned. You think of the difficulties and situations you face as you leave this place. We've had a wonderful oasis. We've had the Word of God. We've had Christ before us. We've had sweet fellowship. We've been able to remember the Lord Jesus together at his table. But no doubt your heart is burdened as you think of leaving here and what you may face. But you know, the Lord Jesus this afternoon, he looks down into this room, and unlike me, he looks right into your heart. He sees, he knows the sighs, he knows the burden of your heart, and he's interested. He sympathizes with you. He fully understands. You say, there really isn't anybody else I can unburden my heart to in a situation, in a difficulty that I'm facing. But you know, I've enjoyed a little comment concerning the Lord Jesus. When he looked down from the mountain in Mark's gospel at the disciples as they crossed the sea, it says he saw them toiling and rowing. You say, nobody knows what the struggle, the inward struggle I'm going through. But there's one who sees you toiling and rowing. He knows the difficulty. And there are three things given in these first three verses of John 14 for the comfort of the disciples at this time. They needed comfort as they thought of the Lord Jesus going away and leaving them. Here they had walked with him during his public ministry. When there was a difficulty, they could go directly to him. You remember when their hearts were burdened over the death of John the Baptist? Why, they came and told the Lord Jesus all about it. And he listened, he sympathized, and he drew them into a desert place to rest a while. And now the Lord had told them that he was going back to the Father. He was going to leave them. No doubt their hearts were very troubled. But I say he gives them three things for their comfort. And the first thing he sets before them is himself. But not himself as he was going to be with them here in this world or as he had been. Because he says, ye believe in God, whom you've never seen. Now you're going to have to believe in me in the same way. I'm not going to be here with you. And we know that after his death and resurrection, a moment came when he lifted up his hands and blessed them, and his feet left the Mount of Olives, and the cloud received him out of their sight, and they saw him no more. But he, though the Lord Jesus is not seen today with the physical eye, the way the disciples saw him here in the upper room, yet he's no less real to faith. We see Jesus. And brethren, we need, as we leave these meetings, to look beyond the difficulties. Not that we're indifferent to them. God allows things to exercise us, to teach us in his schooling, sometimes to correct and admonish us. But by the same token, brethren, we need to lift our eyes by faith into the opened heavens, and we need to be occupied with the one who will never disappoint you. Has someone disappointed you? Some dear brother, some dear sister let you down? You said, I thought they'd never do it. Oh, look up and be occupied with the man in the glory. It says in Peter, whom not having seen ye love, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is what's going to comfort our hearts, brethren. This is what's going to encourage us to go on in these difficult days. This is what's going to strengthen the feeble knees and lift up the hands of weakness. And we have to own we're weak. We are feeble. But there's one who's at the right hand of power, and we need to look full in his wonderful face. We need to be occupied with him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. That's how we're going to run with endurance the race that is set before us. And it is a race of endurance, isn't it? The Christian life, the Christian race is not the 100-yard dash. It's the marathon. It takes exercise and energy of faith to go on day after day, year after year, amidst the hurdles and the difficulties. But brethren, we have Christ at the right hand of God. We have a man who's passed it all before, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have that blessed one, and he's with us too in the situations of life. So this is the first thing for the comfort of the disciples. Himself presented to them as having returned, going to return to the glory. And then he gives them another comfort in the second verse, the comfort of the Father's house. Oh, brethren, what would we have this afternoon as we leave these meetings where we've enjoyed happy fellowship and ministry? What would we have if we didn't have a better home waiting? We're going to return to our homes, but they're only temporary waiting places. We have the Father's house before us. And notice he doesn't call it heaven or glory here. Oh, it is heaven and it is glory, but it's the Father's house. You know, as I visit the saints of God, I feel very comfortable in many of the homes of God's dear people, but never as comfortable as in my own home. When I get back to Smiths Falls and I sit down with my wife and children, I am as comfortable as is possible to be this side of glory. And think of it, brethren, when we get to the Father's house, as God's children, we're going to be finally completely comfortable. We're going to be there, home at last, in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Does it really grip our souls? Do we really consider the fact that there's a home waiting for us? Now, you notice the Lord Jesus spoke of it here in the future tense. I go to prepare a place for you, because he had neither accomplished the work of eternal redemption or returned to the glory as a man. But I believe the moment the Lord Jesus, as a man, entered the Father's presence and sat down with the marks of atonement in his body, the place was prepared. The cross, if I can put it this way, prepared the people for the place, but the presence of the Lord Jesus there prepared the place for the people. It's prepared now. He's simply waiting for that word from the Father, and then he that shall come and will not tarry. And it might be today, brethren, that we hear that shout. We may never leave this building. It might be on the way home. We may never get to our earthly homes again. Oh, may we go from these meetings with a sense of this in our souls. And then the third thing he gives them for their comfort is the promise that he's going to come again and escort them to that place. Oh, brethren, what a promise. Here's a promise from the very lips of the Lord Jesus himself, before he left the disciples. And all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen to the glory of God by us. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise wherewith he hath promised. I realize that it's been many centuries since this promise was made to the disciples. Does that mean that the promise has failed? Not one bit. I often make promises, and when the time comes to fulfill that promise, I have to shake my head and say, I'm sorry, I promised too much. Or maybe when I made the promise, I had the resources to fulfill that promise. But between the time I made it and the time came to fulfill it, something happened and I lost those resources that I had. And I had to say, I'm sorry, I can't fulfill my promise. But oh, brethren, I say he's never made a promise that he can't and won't fulfill. And I just suggest we're on the very eve, the very brink, the very moment of the Lord's return. Are we watching and waiting? Are we going to leave this place with our eyes lifted into the opened heavens, looking to that blessed man who's seated there, the one who's that lovely man who will never disappoint us? Are we going to leave this place with the Father's house before our souls? And are we going to leave with this promise ringing in our ears, I will come again? You know, brethren, he wants us to respond. And in the end of God's word, it says, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. He wants us to respond out of a heart that is so attracted to himself that we want nothing less than to be physically in his presence. But you know, I was just mentioning today to someone that verse that says, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. You ever feel that way? Yes, our hearts ought to respond, but sometimes our flesh cries out too. We become battle weary in the path of faith. We have experienced those trials and difficulties, maybe something physical, and our flesh cries out. So it says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Oh, brethren, it's going to be a mercy to be gone. And so comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye to the heart. I trust, brethren, that as a result of these meetings, our hearts have been encouraged. I trust we've had a fresh glimpse of the Lord Jesus, and I trust that our hearts go out to him and that we're encouraged to press on. Brethren, don't give up. It's going to be worth it another day when you look into his blessed face and you hear his well done.